This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Cincinnati's German heritage is evident in its historic architecture, churches, and family names, and even in its present-day celebratory events. German presence in the city dates even before Cincinnati was known as Cincinnati. Its earliest immigrants played key roles in shaping the region we know today. When World War I broke out and the United States and allies found themselves in bloody conflict with Germany, anti-German hysteria swept the nation. Locally, there was violence and the renaming of German streets to reflect what the powers that be saw as more patriotic. In his new book, Cincinnati's Germans Before World War I, local author and historian Don Heinrich Tolsman explores Germany's rich contributions to this region. I spoke with him earlier, and here is our pre-recorded interview. The name of the book is Cincinnati's Germans Before World War I. The author is Don Heinrich Tolsman. Don, welcome back to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you so much. Good to talk to you again. I haven't seen you, I think, since an Oktoberfest in Covington.
Yeah, I think it was somewhere in Mainstrasse Village during one of the old Oktoberfest celebrations. So long time no see. Welcome back to the show. Good to hear your voice. And congratulations on this very informative, historic book, Cincinnati's Germans Before World War I. I certainly learned a lot reading about it. What's significant about looking at Cincinnati's connections to its German population before the Great War?
Well, half the population in our area has some German ancestry, so German heritage is just about influenced every aspect of life in the area. And I think it's very helpful to understand it, to really understand the greater Cincinnati area because of all the different areas of cultural life, social life, and so on that have been influenced by the German heritage. And I think some of these things are widely taken for granted because they're just the way things are here. For example, many people say please, which is the translation for bitte. And so a lot of the German heritage, it's just part of the core culture of our area.
You're talking about the way people say please as a way to get you to repeat what you have said.
Exactly. Instead of saying huh or what, people say, please. And another factor, I think, that is important was the First World War, that it obscured a lot of things that were of German heritage in the area. So I wanted to take a look at all these influences and the German immigration before the First World War and show how important they were in forming the city. And when I talk about Cincinnati, I mean the greater Cincinnati area, not just the city, but northern Kentucky. This whole tri-state area is what I'm really interested in.
We're talking with Don Heinrich Tolsman, who wrote Cincinnati's Germans Before World War I, a new book available now. And, World War I did bring some anti-German sentiment, to say the least, to this region. So it was incredibly interesting to read about just how deep the ties to Germany and German people run in this community. And it really puts into perspective how misplaced it seems that anti-German sentiment was in World War I. I think one other time that I saw you most recently was also in Mainstrasse Village when one of the streets had been named Pershing, but had and the name escapes me now, this just came to me, but it was one of many streets in Covington, Cincinnati, Newport, really probably around the country, that took their German name away and put it with something more patriotic.
Right. That street was Bremen Street.
That's
in Covington. There was a street by that name also in Cincinnati, Bremen, and over the Rhine that was changed. And not only was it a German name, but it was from a name of the port city in northern Germany that many people left. It was the last city they saw when they left the old country. So it really hurt to have something like that change. Also, there were streets changed over in Newport. So, recently, I've been working to help restore some of these historic sites, and we put honorific street signs in Newport, Covington, and in Over the Rhine. So it reminds people of not only the German heritage, but what can happen when people get carried away by intolerance. So it serves a lesson, too.
And so we see that the German connection to Cincinnati really begins even before we knew this place as Cincinnati. I mean, back to the times where it was referred to as LaSantaville. But I want to talk specifically about a man I guess I wasn't familiar with. I do recognize some of these names just generically, like Mike Fink or Ziegler, and those types of names are relatively familiar to the everyday local person. But Martin Baum was someone who was here in that early period, served as mayor of the city, but also as a big ambassador for the city to potential German immigrants. Tell us about Martin Baum.
Well, he's a very interesting person. He's called the father of the German immigration to the Ohio Valley and in general and to the Cincinnati area in particular. Comes from a very interesting background, actually. His roots were in Alsace-Lorraine in Hagenau, which is near Strasbourg, and which was an area that had been under French occupation during the times of Revolutionary France and so on. His family did immigrate and come to Baltimore, and from there, many people in the East Coast, they immigrated and migrated to this area. And he came here and settled in 1795, and he was really an enterprising person. He really came here with nothing. He was kind of one of these stories of a rags-to-riches story about how you can, you know, really attain and realize the American dream here. And he started various companies here, export company, a sugar refinery, an iron foundry. He helped start the first library here in the area. And then he built that beautiful home that we call the Taft Museum of Art, because the Taft family acquired that home in the 19th century. But it was originally Baum's home, and really made that a cultural and literary center. He had a lot of traveling authors and artists who came here from Germany, who stayed here. But he did something really that attracted German immigrants to the area. He had all of these companies and businesses that he had founded in the area. And so he sent agents to the various port cities to attract workers to come to Cincinnati, work in his various businesses. So he obviously was interested in getting contacts with Baltimore, where his family had settled. So he had an agent in Baltimore and Philadelphia, New York, and in New Orleans. And for our area, the two port cities that are really important are Baltimore. People could come, go west and get in the Ohio River and travel to our area. And then New Orleans, people would come up the river and then over up the Mississippi and then over on the Ohio to our area. So he attracted people to come here. And when once people started coming, it really attracted many immigrants and to our area. And Cincinnati acquired a reputation as a place that was a good place to go to for German immigrants. And people started writing about the area. It really had a glowing reputation. And it was called the El Dorado of the German immigrant in the early 19th century. And this really goes back to a lot of the work of Baum. And he also had agents who were down on the riverfront at the landing. And when steamboats stopped there, he would also talk to, and his agents would talk to recently arrived immigrants and to settle in the area. So he was really a promoter. And you know, people always ask, you know, why did people, Germans, come to our area? Why did they settle in our area? Well, the answer really is simple. Martin Baum really orchestrated and organized it. And once people started coming, they write to family and friends in the old country, and they start coming and settling in the same place.
So, well, let me ask you, because Martin Baum and all of the groundwork that he did to really establish Cincinnati as a destination for German immigrants, it surprised me that maybe I should hesitate even to admit this. I never heard of him before.
Well, you know, that's one of the things I'm trying to rectify, actually, by publishing my book. As a matter of fact, a lot of people don't even know that the Taft Museum of Art was originally the Baum home. And I think, you know, I've been talking to folks there for a long time, and there is a historical marker in the front of that building that says it originally was the home of Martin Baum. But, you know, yeah, a very important person. And also, he was very involved in the keelboat trade on the Ohio River, and then in getting steamboats on the river. So, you know, a very important person. And I think, you know, it has to do, I think, in large part to the First World War, when a lot of this history got obscured and obliterated. And so I'm trying to really kind of refocus on some of these early parts of Cincinnati's German heritage. I have written a lot about the First World War, the anti-German hysteria, and of course about recent events and things going on. And I've written about the beer barons and historic sites and over the Rhine. But I think that that period before the First World War really needs to be something we really need to take a closer look at and reconnect with to understand our area.
We're talking with Don Heinrich Tolsman. His new book is Cincinnati's Germans Before World War One. You were talking about Cincinnati as the El Dorado of the West, as it was marketed in the early 19th century. To whom was it marketed? And I guess what I'd rather ask is, when we think of German immigrants, maybe we just have a broad understanding of what Germany is now, what Germany was in that period when people were immigrating here. Was there any particular part of Germany that most of Cincinnati's connections came from, and what impact did that have on shaping the city?
Well, Germany then was, of course, not united, not until 1871. It consisted of 38 different states and principalities, and you have to really look at each one of them in terms of what were the causes why people immigrated. And one of the areas that early on in the 1830s started picking up in terms of immigration was northwestern Germany. And many of the people from that part of Germany came to our area, and then they would write to friends and family by this process called chain migration. And that became the major group of German immigrants to our area. And why did they come from northwestern Germany? Well, when they started coming here, they had been through almost 20 years of the Napoleonic Wars. It had been occupied by Napoleon. It had suffered economically because of the Continental Blockade. Also, Napoleon drafted Germans into the French army for the Russian campaign. So after the Napoleonic Wars, that whole area of northwestern Germany was really suffering economically and from having been under occupation during the Napoleonic era. And so they started immigrating in great numbers at that time, and then started coming to our area because of the reputation that this area had acquired. And so that whole northwestern area.
Well, let's note, Don, that northwest area of Germany you write in this book offered a very significant contribution to even modern day Cincinnati culture. It's something that we eat and are very proud of, right?
Well, you know, I amusingly like to call that area, I call that Geta country, because that's where Geta comes from and is unique to that area. And that's very, very popular in our area. And some of the biggest producers of Geta are in our area. Of course, Glier's in Covington, I think, is the largest producer of Geta. So we have direct connections to northern Germany. And many of the towns and villages throughout that whole northwestern German area, they're just like the hometowns to many people in our area. And that that food item, geta, is so unique to that area. And to people in this area think it's a, or they often feel it's a, well, this is a common German food item. It's not. It's extremely very much a regional item. And there are a lot of comical stories about people from our area. They go to Munich for the Oktoberfest, and they get down to breakfast in a hotel, and they want to order eggs and geta. And then some Bavarians will say to them, well, what is that? I've never heard of it. And they wouldn't have ever heard of it because it's a regional food item only common to northwestern Germany. And also Germans, when they come to our area during Oktoberfest, they'll hear about geta and they'll say, well, that's not a German food item. We've never heard of it. Well, that's because it's just a very regional item. So that's one common strand of influence that connects us to the place where many German immigrants came from.
We're talking with Don Heinrich Tolsman about his new book, Cincinnati Germans Before World War One. So there was some marketing of Cincinnati to German immigrants as they arrived in port cities, like you noted, like Baltimore or New Orleans, where they would have easy river access to join their fellow Germans in this region. Was there an image of Cincinnati in Germany or the German states of that period?
Well, there were a lot of books that were being published about America beginning in the 18th century, and then many authors had come to our area, and they stayed at Baum's home, for example, and they started writing about this area and writing about it as being a very beautiful area, the river valley, rich farmland in the countryside. They described the Ohio River as comparable to the Rhine River. And that's why it was called the El Dorado of the German immigrant. And they also praised the liberties and freedoms that were available here, and that people like Baum and David Sigler, that they were elected to public office as mayor. And, you know, they could compare that to the conditions in the German states where there wasn't a democratic form of government. And also at that time, the German language press here was flourishing, and there were many immigrants in this area that would send articles from the Cincinnati German press. They'd sent them over to Germany, and they were republished. They were widely circulated. Also, immigrants wrote letters. These were often reprinted in German newspapers. And they would tell about conditions here, what life was like. They could see that people like Baum, they had risen from literally from rags to riches. So, you know, they could see that all of these possibilities for a better life in Cincinnati, and compare and contrast them to the lack of political freedoms and rights. Of course, there's no such thing as a Bill of Rights at that time in the German states. And they could see the, and then after have gone through more than two decades of Napoleonic wars, which really ripped up the countryside of the German states. And you can get a good understanding why did people want to come here, because they can compare and contrast conditions in Germany with those here in America and in Cincinnati in particular.
We're talking with Don Heinrich Tolsman about his new book, Cincinnati's Germans Before World War One. You include a note in the chapter exploring cultural life of Germans in Cincinnati that talks about an article that was written in Harper's Magazine in 1888 describing Cincinnati as having its chief interests not in business or industry, but in cultural life. And even now, Cincinnati is often lauded for punching above its weight in terms of its arts offering when compared to other cities in similar size. What role did the Germans play in establishing the foundation for that?
Well, they brought a love of music to our area, and German singing societies were formed here in the early 19th century. German bands were organized. They sponsored an annual Sängerfest or Singers Festival in Over the Rhine. This led to the construction of the music hall. And when after the music hall was built, one thing came to mind to everybody was an oversight. There was no orchestra. And so they turned to a band in the Over the Rhine district, and that became the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra. And practically all of the musicians in the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra were German born. And they, if you look at the programs, you can see that all of the German composers, Beethoven, Brahms, Bach, and Mozart, were on the agenda. And then this became a center for German artists, too. Of course, we think about Frank Duveneck as the premier artist of German background. And one of the things that really gave them a great opportunity to display their skills and their artistry were the many churches in the area, especially the Catholic Church. And they earned their living by decorating these churches with paintings, murals, sculpture, and so on. And many of them then also worked at the Cincinnati Art Academy. And so in the area of music and the arts, they played an important role. And also then establishing theaters in our area, many of them in Over the Rhine. And
I think there's a whole lot of cultural contributions that are worth learning about in this book, Cincinnati's Germans Before World War I. There's also interesting chapters about Germans here in the Civil War. There's a interesting exploration of the Tyler Davidson Fountain at Fountain Square that I thought was intriguing to read about. So there's so much more in this book. But before I let you run, Don, let me just ask you a general question. If someone were to arrive in Cincinnati today without any general knowledge about this community, what do you think would be the first sign to them that this city, this region, was heavily influenced throughout its history by Germans?
Well, I think one thing is when you come to the area, especially if you're coming down I-75, say if you're arriving from the airport, you come by and you see signs that say the Mainstrasse Village in Covington, and then you look at the Mother of God Church steeples, and you look at the architecture in Covington and in the Over the Rhine district, and then you see the Fountain Square, a fountain that comes from Munich, which is the symbol and center of the city, which often is a typical feature of a German city. So, and then if you when you're flying into the area too, you notice all the greenery of the area because of the tremendous number of parks we have in the area, and they're largely due to Adolf Strauch, who was the superintendent of Spring Grove and also the superintendent of parks in Cincinnati. So the greenery of the area, the architecture, and then a setting along the Ohio River, which is reminiscent of the Rhine. The place just has a German look and feel to it in our area. And once you get here, you can sample some of the great brews that we have brewed in our area that are also reminiscent of German heritage.
And the book is called Cincinnati's Germans Before World War I. The author is Don Heinrich Tolsman. Don, thank you so much for sharing the book with us and sharing some time with us to talk about it.
Thanks so much, Michael. Good to talk to you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.